Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yep, sir. Yeah. Thursday, May the 12th. You know the drill. Here we go.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Talking sports with the 12th man. We are ready to kick this thing off once again. I am your host, Andre, a.k.a. DD Dre 1800, having some fun times here, joined by my other fellow co-hosts, and I always like to kick it to them to make sure they're doing all right. They haven't been eliminated from playoffs just yet. They're back. First and foremost, let's check in with Mr. JQ, Jaquan Jenkins. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm living a dream. Ready to talk some sports after watching this game tonight, man. I'm impressed, Oklahoma City.
JQ is hype, man. That's the first thing on the topic, too, so we're going to jump right into that. Without further ado, let's kick it out to my other co-host, Mr. T-Bob, Robert Ford. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Doing great, man. Ready to get this party started.
America, we are ready. As I mentioned before, it is March the 12th. May the 12th, excuse me. I'm trying to jump back in time here. May the 12th, excuse me. You are officially talking sports the 12th, man. I always like to throw out some show information if you want to reach out to the fellas. Reach out to us. The number to call is always that 424-243-9519. That's the number. You know, so follow us on Twitter. The Twitter handle is at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we're on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/12thmansports. Or if you put in Talking Sports with 12th Man, you will find this as well. So, gentlemen, let's kick it off. I think that's one of the fastest intros I've ever had because I'm just ready to kind of talk about a lot of things. And let's kick it off. JQ, you're already excited about it. Spurs versus Thunder. Thunder handled their business pretty convincingly and eliminates the Spurs, which I don't know if we actually thought this was going to happen. So, yeah, floor is yours, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to take your hats off to them. And a lot of it, I give it to Donovan, making that switch of taking Ibaka out and putting Steven Adams on Aldridge, because Aldridge was just a house of fire in those first two games. Mm-hmm. That switch there is one that I don't think is made in previous Oklahoma City regimes. And you got to tip your hat to them. They didn't collapse in the fourth quarter like they have been doing all year long. I believe they led the league in a number of fourth quarter leads lost. I think even ahead of the Philadelphia 76ers, which should tell you everything you need to know about how bad of a stat that is. And I think it makes for a more interesting Western Conference Finals, because I think that youth that Oklahoma City has matches up a little bit better with that Golden State team than maybe San Antonio does, even though they got, you know, Pop in the great big three, and you put Kawhi Leonard and Aldridge with them. But, man, I mean, I'm really impressed with them going to San Antonio in Game 5 and still in that game, and then coming out and just laying the wood to San Antonio. I believe they were almost up by 30 at one point in this game. And you knew San Antonio with their championship pedigree was going to make a run. But their ability to hang on and win that game, and nobody has Oklahoma City beating San Antonio in that round. Everybody just took for granted that we were going to see Oklahoma City and San Antonio in the Western Conference Finals. So kudos to Billy Donovan and the adjustments that he made, and Westbrook and Durant providing that 1-2 punch.
Yeah, and I'm going to kick this over to Rob, too, because I'm sure Rob's going to talk about this, because I know, Rob, we've always had a favorite team as being San Antonio, and Aldridge was playing on fire, and you're kind of seeing the kind of decline of you know, obviously Tim Duncan and kind of them kind of like, you know, Manu Ginobili, and you kind of want to wonder what's going to happen to the future, because it seemed like they kind of had that thing rolling, but we'll see if they can reload for the future too, Rob. So I'm sure, I'll kick it over to you, kind of give us your thoughts about the Spurs and also how OKC played. I mean, they look like they're on a mission too, so it's going to be great that second series too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm probably one of the few that's not surprised by the outcome of this series. I've mentioned it on our show. Andre and I had a conversation off the air prior to the series, and I mentioned to him that I really think Oklahoma City's got a chance to beat the Spurs. And it was just one of those series, or just this is just not one of those teams that the Spurs match up well with. And JQ already mentioned the youth and the athleticism of San Antonio. I mean, it just came to the forefront in this series, and San Antonio just could not keep up with them, especially tonight. And Oklahoma City just pulled away with it. I mean, it almost looked like a complete mismatch. And, you know, you thought after that first game, though, you know, I was almost starting to look like kind of crazy for thinking Oklahoma City had a chance to win with the way the Spurs just annihilated the Thunder in game one. But it still goes back to, I just thought the Thunder just matched up well with the Spurs. They matched up well with them in the regular season. They matched up well with them historically here over the last 4 to 5 years. This has just been a team that has just kind of been a thorn in the side of the Spurs. Now, I'm hoping they can pull it off against the Warriors, too. I really do. I would like to see it. I'm still not convinced, though, that they match up as well with the Warriors. If Curry is healthy, I still like the Warriors to win the Western Conference Finals, even though I would like to see Oklahoma City win. You mentioned I'm a Spurs fan, but I still thought the Thunder just matched up well with them. And it's tough to see Duncan and Ginobili, but such great careers. I think it's time for both of them to retire. Parker still got some game left, but it's time for Duncan and Ginobili to hang up the cleats.
What is next for the Spurs, Rob? What do you think about them?
Well, I mean, you still got Leonard, and you still have Aldridge, and you still have Parker. You know, he's getting up in age. But, you know, it's just a few more pieces here and there. Popovich will be able to recruit some players there to come and join them there in Spurs. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'll have a problem there. I think there's a few pieces out there they'll be able to grab. The key is you still have Aldridge and you still have Leonard. You got to try to build around those two for the future here going forward. And you got to find some free agent pieces that can come in and mesh with them. I think they'll still be competitive. They'll still be around. They'll still be a top four team in the Western Conference for the foreseeable future, in my opinion. It's just a matter of what kind of pieces they're going to be adding to them.
Yeah, and I totally agree. Just to piggyback on that, if Duncan and Ginobili retire, you talk about the cap space they will further free up. And let's not forget, you know, Kevin Durant's still going to be out there, and I don't know if he'll leave to go to San Antonio, but, you know, Pop saying he's going to stay and see Aldridge's contract out. Like you said, you have Aldridge and you've got Leonard. And if you get those two guys to retire, you free up more cap space. I still like the bench with Green and Patty Mills and West. You know, I think San Antonio, if they play the cards right, will still have the ability to sign free agents. And I think everybody around the league just looks at them as a model organization, so I don't think that's going to be a problem. But the last piece of that, this is a team that lost one home game all regular season, and they lost two in this series with Oklahoma City. You've got to tip your hat to Oklahoma City that's just a phenomenal job.
Yeah, does this change, you think, Kevin Durant? Because I know he's a huge free agent. I know he's word of he's definitely going to still take those visits because he wants to be courted and stuff like that. But does it kind of change his perception now that he thinks that, and this is for you, JQ, and I'll give it to Rob, too, really quickly, that now they're on the premises, you know, hey, just add, you know, maybe one or two pieces, and they can kind of, you know, they've kind of proven that they're kind of taking the mantle. What do you think about that?
I think what's going to happen is that he's going to do similar to what LeBron does. He might sign a 2 or 3 year deal to stay in Oklahoma City, but he's going to give himself a chance to opt out after this year. I think he wants to hit free agency with Westbrook and to see what they can do together. I don't think he's necessarily going to commit to Oklahoma City long term until he knows what Westbrook is going to do. So that's what I really see him doing. I mean, he's going to get courted and courted hard, as he rightfully should be. But I think ultimately he stays in Oklahoma City, but he's going to give himself that out after next year to say, okay, me and Russ are both free agents. What are we going to do together? I think they have a bond and a friendship that we don't understand, and we think they can't play the well together, but they feel like they can do it together. So I think they hit the open market together, and that's going to be a doozy of a free agent class the year after next.
Rob, your thoughts, sir?
Well, I totally agree with what JQ just said. I kind of thought that all along, whether they won or lost this series, I kind of thought he was going to remain in Oklahoma City for a short contract, not a long-term contract, with the ability to be able to opt out for next summer. And whether they won or lost this series, I don't think it changes his thought process. I really thought he was going to remain in Oklahoma City for at least one more season after this coming season. I know there's some speculation. There was the main reason why the Wizards, you know, hired Scott Brooks and try to convince him to come to Washington, his hometown. But I still, even whether they won or lost this series, I thought all along he would at least be with OKC at least one more year.
Yeah, I agree.
Speaking of opting out in 1 year, what about your boy Scott Skiles, JQ, after one season in Orlando, he decides that he's done, and there's some a lot of rumors out there, but what do you think about this particular move? Very, very surprising, to say the least.
Yeah, when I read the report on it, they said that he was thinking about, you know, in mid-January, that he told him, you know, this I made a mistake taking this job, and the GM and the president basically withheld information from the owners that he told them that information because he went out to that job really aggressively, contacting the owners of the both family, you know, multiple times saying, hey, I played here. I want to coach this team. And then in mid-January, he was saying, oh, I made a mistake. So once I read that, I was like, wow, Scott Skiles. I mean, it's going to be hard. Even though he's had some good reclamation projects in the past, you know, with Phoenix and the such. But after 1 year and you knew you were going to have a bad team, they were young and you had to help them grow, that I think he's really put a black mark on his name as a head coach for the foreseeable future because he just quit on that team. There's no other way to say it. He just barely made it through the end of the year. You said mid-January you were talking about this is a mistake, and now you're quitting after your first year into it, knowing what you were walking into anyway. What did he think was going to happen this year in Orlando would be what I wanted to ask Scott Skiles. Like, this is what we all thought you guys were going to be, right? Like, you might get to the AC in the bad Eastern Conference, but you were never going to be world beaters. So it's disappointing.
Rob, your thoughts, sir?
Well, yeah. If this was a player making this kind of move, I mean, you would see the media just destroying the player for quitting on the team. But, you know, I don't think you ever get that going towards Scott Skiles. But that's basically what he did. He just quit on his organization, quit on his team. Now, there's a lot of speculation that he and the general manager didn't see eye to eye on, you know, on the direction of the team, and that played a big part in why he made this decision. Obviously, Scott Skiles is denying that, but there are a lot of reports saying otherwise. I guess we'll never know. But it's a big shock, and it's a big surprise. And as JQ just mentioned, he really just quit on that organization. You know, a couple of names that has coming to the forefront that possibly may be taking his place. Frank Vogel, of course, Indiana. Jeff Hornacek is also a candidate as well. So we'll see if one of those two names is going to, you know, get the head coaching job there in Orlando. But it's a very good young team. You're talking about Victor Oladipo and that team there. Efrem Payton, running a point guard, is still, you know, he still has some things that he needs to correct in his game, but ultra athletic as well. So this is a team with a lot of good young talent. Aaron Gordon, just to name a few. Evan Fournier, you know, this team has got a lot of talent. And Skiles actually did a really good job with the team. They improved by 10 games.
Yep.
He actually saw some progress, and actually I thought he did a really good job coaching this team. And so that's another reason why you're kind of shocked about how he just made this move.
And then one last thing. Did you see the tweet that Evan Fournier put out? Sorry for everybody there that listened to it. Yeah. The what the F tweet he put out. Like, I mean, they were just totally blindsided about it. I'm really disappointed in Scott Skiles in that decision. I truly am.
Yeah, totally. This kind of one of the – I know Rob nailed on the point. And there's some speculation, too. He's trying to, like, clean it up, too. But there's more in that, and I'm sure – we'll see what's going to happen later on, guys, because I'm sure there's definitely more that's happened than we know right at this particular moment, too. But very disappointing for Scott Skiles, too. So really quick, Rob, I'm going to throw it to you as far as anything else you want to talk about as far as the NBA playoffs. I'm pretty excited, too, because there's a lot of moving pieces as far as what's happening right now, and especially going into free agency as well, too. So what are your thoughts about the rest of the NBA playoffs, sir?
Well, I think we pretty much covered what we think about the Western Conference, and obviously Cleveland is just sitting and waiting in the East with two sweeps. You know, and I'm a LeBron James fan. I'm a Cleveland fan, but I think if there's one thing that worries me, you have to wonder, have they really beaten a good opponent yet here in the playoffs? And that's not to knock the two teams that they've beaten, but if that would be the only concern – That would be the only concern that I would have with Cleveland. But you could also say the same about Golden State. And you could probably say that Oklahoma City might be the only team that's really beaten a legitimate team thus far to advance to the conference finals. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. I still like Cleveland in the East. I still like Golden State in the West. And but, yeah, that would be the only concern that I would have for Cleveland with those two sweeps. But, you know, if they're subpar teams, they did what they were supposed to do. They swept.
Right. And my only thing about that is that for Golden State, I would take that Portland team over Detroit and Atlanta. Sorry, Dre, but I would. So I would give Golden State the benefit of the doubt of beating Portland because Portland's got a good team, especially with McCollum and Lillard in that backcourt.
Yeah.
And for everybody listening, I've been telling these guys since the start, the way things have unfolded, that I thought this was the best the team having the best postseason was Cleveland, even outside of the sweeps, because just the way everything has been shaken up with, you know, Miami and Toronto both being extended and now Whiteside being hurt and Valanciunas being hurt for Toronto as well. And then Demari Carroll got hurt and Dane got hurt as well, both with wrist injuries. So they keep getting advanced, and then now you got two weakened teams, whichever one you play. And Curry looks like he's back, so you can no longer really put that in consideration. But now I think they have a harder challenge, I think, in Oklahoma City because they're more athletic than San Antonio would be. I think they would have forced San Antonio to play smaller because they would have had no chance. Where Oklahoma City is great on the boards, and they're just as athletic as Golden State is. So for me, the winner, and I've been saying that, I think all postseason long has been Cleveland. And like Charles Barkley said, the Miami-Toronto series is just the Guppy Bowl. Because whatever team that wins that is going to get eaten by the big shark in Cleveland. My only concern about Cleveland is sometimes I think too much rest is a bad thing because they were playing so well and they were in such a rhythm that you can't really get that in practice, you know, that level of intensity and playoff intensity. So I agree with Rob's point to as well that, you know, playing Detroit and playing Atlanta, I don't know if they've been tested the way they should have been, the way they're going to be tested probably in the Western Conference, and are they going to be rusty? I think they're going to have a real challenge in game one, whoever they play, because I think they may have fallen out of rhythm because they just have had too much rest.
Fair enough. One thing Cleveland does have going for them that they didn't have last year is health, and that they can stay healthy. And also, if you want to beat the Golden State Warriors, you've got to be able to hit the long ball, and Cleveland, it seems like they're doing a phenomenal job doing that so far here in these playoffs. And last year, of course, they made it to the Eastern Conference, I'm sorry, the NBA Finals, with just one of their big three. And now they, I don't know if you guys saw this stat, but they're actually undefeated in the playoffs when all three of their big three have played together. And that goes back into last season a little bit that they did have it at big three. And so that's the thing that they do have going for them, but we'll still have to wait and see. Obviously, I think they're capable of even sweeping Toronto or Miami as well in the East. They really are. And so, I mean, they could really be 12-0 going into the NBA Finals, in my opinion.
No, Drake will throw some water on the ground or something for Toronto. Drake is going to get them a game in Toronto. He's going to do something crazy. They're going to play views from the six all night. It's going to be something stupid. But they're going to find a way. They're going to find a way to get one game in Toronto. I still think they can beat Toronto in five, though.
Good calls. About 11 minutes here, 11 and a half minutes here. And I'll have to, you know, that was a nice little shot, Rob. But, you know, I still love you, Brett. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. But
hey, man.
No. I mean, I'm saying, and the reason why, and only out of respect to, I will say that we mentioned it all throughout the show tonight as far as matchups, right? And certain teams match up well versus certain teams too. So no matter what happens, you know, the Hawks didn't match up well with Cleveland. No matter how you spin it, I mean, there's certain teams that just doesn't work, bottom line. I mean, I don't care if we would have played Miami, whatever. In the day, we were going to get beat by Cleveland no matter what. So, you know, I'm going to kind of go from there until we make some adjustments too. And then we talked about it earlier with, you know, with Spurs and with Thunder. You know, certain teams match up differently with, you know, different squads. So, you know, it is what it is. Like you said, it does seem like, JQ, you nailed it. Like Cleveland is on that course. They look focused. Rob mentioned it. They have addressed a lot of the outside shooting. So they're pretty much prepared for that onslaught versus the Warriors. So if it does end up to be that, it's going to be a great game. Obviously, this is what I think the world wants to see. So I think it is going to happen. We'll talk about that in a quick second too. So that's just me. Everyone wants to see that.
See?
So it's going to happen.
See?
So, you know,
it's
I'm just saying.
I'm all in conspiracy. I tell you what is going to be real interesting about this OKC Golden State series Prior to Steph Curry going on his rampage here the last couple of years, who was the guy that we all thought was going to surpass LeBron as the best player in the NBA?
Kevin Durant.
Yep. And so I think there's going to be some fire in Kevin Durant in this series. I mean, I really do. He was the guy that was supposed to be the next one, and somehow Steph Curry and, you know, Kevin Durant had an injury that kind of, you know, maybe helped with that too. But Steph Curry just leaped Kevin Durant and just went right past Kevin Durant on to passing LeBron as well as being the NBA's best player. But Kevin Durant was supposed to be that next guy that surpassed LeBron James. But now, so I think there's going to be some fight in Kevin Durant in this series. I think it's going to be real intriguing.
That's a good point.
I give Durant one more year, guys. I think Cleveland may get theirs, and then I think next year it may be OKC, because you got to think about it, whether they grab a – they can get a Mike Conley, you know, they can get an Al Horford, they can get, you know, a certain player, and that may help them to kind of, like, get into that next level too. But that's kind of me. I think that, you know, Cleveland will probably get theirs this year. And I think, you know, obviously next year we'll see how that plays out for sure. But that's just – kind of some things here, but, you know, I don't know. We'll see for sure. Let's talk about it. Obviously, congrats to Steph Curry winning the unanimous MVP. Rob's thunder there with that. Kobe still tops LeBron, but he's not number one, and I probably stole the thunder. Apologies, Rob, if you wanted to talk about that too. And JQ, stay tuned. I'm going to throw two to your way too. So is that what that was about, right, Rob? Did I just do that?
Kind of I mean, it's not that big of a deal, but Steph Curry led the league this past season in the jersey sales. Kobe was 2, LeBron was 3 in jersey sales in NBA. Obviously, Steph Curry, the MVP of the league, and he's also a good guy as well. So I think a lot of fans really like that, and it obviously shows. I think Kobe's was more so a going out party kind of thing this year. The reason why he's up near the top with the jersey sales, obviously retiring this year and things of that nature. And then, of course, LeBron still being one of the world's, you know, number one basketball figures as well, so still near the top. I think the interesting thing is that Tim Duncan retires this season, and he's probably just going to go out quietly. Without the world tour, you know, his retirement tour. But I think that's just his personality, though. I just don't think that fits him as going out getting that kind of attention. So it's, you know, very interesting the difference in the way they'll go out this year.
Yeah, I know that JQ got his Kobe jersey, too. Go ahead. You got your Kobe jersey, right? JQ, go ahead.
I had that years ago.
And you got a green one at that.
I got a green yellow. But I had that years ago though. So for me, I had that way before this piece. And I totally agree with what Rob said. Golden State right now is just a phenomenon. And I'll tell you, I went to a Lids here in Atlanta, just trying to find another Cincinnati hat. And they had just a stock Cincinnati hats, but there was like two rows of hats up and down from top to bottom of all different color Golden State hats. And we're in Atlanta. So that piece of what Golden State is doing is just a phenomenon I don't think you can mess with. I was not surprised to see that happen. He was supposed to win the MVP. I don't think anybody could really talk about it. Not unanimously, okay, but he was still going to win it. But to the point about the jersey sales, how about Porzingis? I think he came in fourth in jersey sales behind those three, and I thought that one to be astonishing. I mean, I know the NBA has grown to a global level. But for him to come in fourth above all these other great players, you know, above Durant, above Westbrook, above Paul George, you know, above Harden, all these guys, I really thought that was just above Melo, his own teammate. I really thought that was fascinating that Porzingis made it to number four. So the world is pretty hyped about Porzingis. I wonder if he can follow it up.
Yeah. I think he got all of New York and all of Eastern Europe behind his jersey. So just shot him up right top.
Yeah, exactly. That's still fascinating, though, to get to number four.
And he's a guy that's got a lot of potential. There was a lot of people that questioned the Knicks when they took that pick last season, but he's a guy that's got a lot of potential and that could turn out to be a star in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. And just to piggyback, Rob, I want to talk about you nailed it on the head as far as, you know, Tim Duncan, you know, just the kind of guy that's just going to kind of go out, you know, just, you know, with the whisper here. You talked about a player that has been, you know, they make jokes about him being the big fundamental, But at one point, this dude, everyone was comparing Tim Duncan. He had that amazing shot, the bank shot that nobody could stop. It's almost similar to the sky hook back in the day. And I just call – it's kind of sucks because we're not having players stay for 4 years anymore, and that's not a knock on money or anything like that. But he just developed as a big man, and he came right into the league, and he just fit. He just – it just worked out perfectly too. So, you know, he was never look at me. He was never, you know, a flashy player, but he was just a solid, just an amazing player too, man. So I wish moving along he would get a little bit more love. But, you know, I don't know if that's kind of Pop system or that's the San Francisco – or excuse me, San Antonio system or just personality. But, you know, and it seems like they're getting players that just kind of go right in, you know, Kawhi Leonard. He's not a flashy guy either, but he's a very solid player, man. So it's just it's one of those things where, you know, it's good to be a little selfish, but, you know, we should definitely – show love to Tim Duncan because just, you know, he has just been an outstanding player, to say the least, too. So I don't know if you guys want to comment on that, JQ or Rob. It's kind of the conference floor is open for that thought as well.
Just say this. Oh, great. I'm sorry, JQ.
No, I'll just to keep it short. I mean, that's just the way he's always carried himself. So he's not a rah-rah kind of look at me kind of guy. He just goes out and he produces. Gets buckets, that's why I call him the big fundamental. I think you'll see him get his just due when he hangs it up. It just won't be like Rob said. He's just not the kind of guy to go on a retirement tour like that. When he's done, I can see him doing more like a Barry Sanders, you know, I'm done, retirement kind of facts it in and let that be the end of it. So, you know, that's just his personality.
Good, Rob.
Every year I do a top 10 NBA basketball player ranking since 1980. And the reason why I do since 1980, that's the year I started watching basketball, watching NBA. And so obviously I can't comment on a lot of guys prior to that, like Will Chamberlain, Oscar Robertson. Obviously those are all great players. But in my years of watching basketball since 1980, in my opinion, there's only two players better than Tim Duncan. They ever played a game since 1980. And number one, of course, would be Michael Jordan. Number two would be Magic Johnson. To me, those are the only two guys I rank above Tim Duncan on what he's done. Obviously, having five NBA championships, the longevity of his career, the numbers that he's put up. And obviously, there are players that have maybe bigger names or a bigger fanfare, like a LeBron and Kobe. But in my opinion, I only put Jordan and Magic over him. When you look at their stats, when you look at their championships, when you look at the fact that he was been the best player on that team for a long time. You know, Kobe had 3 years, three championships where he was secondary to Shaq. But I put Tim Duncan only behind Jordan and Magic.
Good call. All right, Rob, we got 2 minutes. Let's go ahead to the OT portion. I know we got to talk about some football really quickly, too, but I want to talk about the Trailblazers and your boy DeMarcus Cousins, JQ. Go ahead, Rob. Finish us up here.
Boogie.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got a short break until our next show. We're going to be back on Monday night. That's right. This coming Monday night, we're going to be back on the air. That is the 16th of May. We'll be back on 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. So make sure you join us. We'll be getting you caught up on the NBA playoffs, getting you ready for the NBA lottery. And, of course, you're going to be seeing my upcoming NBA mock draft, still evaluating a lot of these foreign players here that we don't get to see a whole lot of. So hopefully I'll have that together by next week. And of course, the OT portion. We can't get that portion to you live, but stay tuned. Click on the same link on tomorrow, and you'll be able to hear our NFL portion of the show if you want to hear us talk some football. So make sure you click on the same link on tomorrow to get our OT portion. Good night, people.
Thank you. San Diego, Superchargers. I'm coming to see you, San Diego. I got my ticket. I'm coming. I'll holler at y'all All-Star Weekend. Stay classy.
That's awesome. Maybe I get a chance to roll out with you too, JQ. We'll talk about that too as
make
well.
Make sure you get some. Make sure y'all do some parasailing while you're there.
Yeah.
All about that.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like a good plan. JQ's
not down. That's the thing to do in San Diego. I have to come there and show y'all how to do
time.
It.
Fun times, man. We'll let Rob do it, and then we'll kind of sit there. You know, we'll see how everything plays out, too. All right.
Right.
Good job, America. OC portion is kicking off. Before we're going to tease everyone, too, and let's talk about still a little bit more NBA here, and let's focus on the Trailblazers. And there was a question as far as if the Trailblazers deserve a hero's welcome in Portland. And I'm going to go on the limb and I'm going to say a resounding yes, gentlemen, only because the fact is, you know, they lost a lot of players. You know, you lose like a big, you know, piece in LaMarcus Aldridge. You lost Wesley Matthews. The list goes on and on and on. And I'm pretty sure that if you would have thought them losing them pieces and for them to literally go as far as they did, this is a team that looks fantastic. They got a great backcourt, and they've also added Crabb as well. This team, you know, a couple of players were injured, and I think that they're going to make a lot of noise too. So, you know, it's going to be one of those battle weight divisions, and it's great to see this, guys, because before, you know, kind of as Rob was mentioning from the 80s, you had a couple teams that kind of had their little runs, you know, from the Bulls to the Pistons, the Lakers, Celtics. It's good to see different parity as far as teams too. So, yeah, I think they should deserve a hero's welcome as far as, you know, Terry Stotts doing his thing and keeping that wheel turning. So I don't know if your thoughts about the same too, Rob, or what do you think about that, sir?
Well, I'm going to say this. I think Terry Stotts did a phenomenal job with that team. And I think the way Mason Plumlee and of course, Ed Davis, the way he's got those guys to kind of revitalize their game and take their game up to another level. And then when you look at their backcourt, they have one of the most exciting backcourts in the league with Lillard. C.J. McCollum, I'll tell you, this guy's going to be a big-time. He's already a big-time scorer, but I think he's going to be even better going forward. C.J. McCollum, I don't think we've seen the best of him just yet as well. And Allen Crabb, I tell you, he was really competing at a high level. And I tell you, another guy who you got to give Terry Stotts a lot of credit with, I saw this guy a lot with the New Orleans Pelicans, El-Farouq Aminu.
Yeah.
Somebody, and people in New Orleans, you just call him Aminu. But yeah, he turned out to be a heck of a basketball player. I mean, that guy couldn't hit the side of the couldn't throw the ball in the ocean when he was with New Orleans. But now he's hitting three pointers. He was always a great defender and rebounder and a hustle guy, but he couldn't shoot. But now he's even shooting the basketball very well. He's very athletic, and you got to give Terry Stotts a lot of credit with that. But to answer the question, Portland obviously has a bright future. Still probably need a piece or two to really compete for a championship. But for them to get a resounding hero's welcome, I'm going to say no. And I think you never should be satisfied with getting eliminated in the Western Conference semifinals. I don't think you throw a parade or a party for that. I think you got to still keep these guys hungry. And so, yeah, I don't think you give them the impression that you're satisfied with that. Great job, but no heroes welcome.
JQ?
Yeah, he took everything I was going to say, especially Dan, because he had forgotten Aminu, because he was a big part of that. I agree with that. They have done a fantastic job when nobody even thought they could make the playoffs. But at the end of the day, sorry to go Stephen A. Smith on you, they lost 4-1 to Golden State, and Golden State didn't have Curry in the beginning, and they beat a Clippers team that was down Chris Paul with a broken hand and Blake with the quad. So I give them a ton of credit for getting a lot further than anybody thought they should get. But a hero's welcome, that's a little bit much for me. You know, you might show up and say, hey, you know, nice job, see them in the mall, give them dap. But a hero's welcome, I don't think you should do that.
I like it, man. I just think, man, I'm so sure they didn't expect anything, man. So for them to, hey, that's like icing on the cake.
Man, they did lose four starters.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a great accomplishment still.
You didn't expect that. Yeah, it's all good.
But heroes welcome is a lot.
Yeah,
I'm just saying the heroes welcome is just a little bit farther than I was going to take it.
So if they win it, you know, they're gonna give them like the keys to all the cities, man. You know, who knows, man. Let's talk about DeMarcus Cousins here.
Boogie.
And this is the thing. So I've heard this from a lot of different, you know, from a couple of my sources are talking about the Sacramento Kings, and once again, apologies to a lot of my fans. We got a lot of fans and family out that are Kings fans and from the L.A. area and from – not L.A., but from the California area. It looks like that Kings are kind of – are very dysfunctional. And you think that – I don't think that DeMarcus Cousins is the best guy to operate in dysfunction. So I think if you put him in – you know, if you put him in, you know, let's say a San Antonio scenario, or you put him in a team that had structure – I think he could literally legitimately become the MVP. So I think it's just circumstances that are surrounding that. If he has a pretty strong, you know, minded team coach, something like that. I think that's going to help out. Right now, he's just going willy nilly, and it's not a good scenario, too. So, you know, that's just me as far as that. JQ, talk about your boy really quickly.
Well, I don't think so. And I think Sacramento made a mistake because Jorgen got fired in Memphis because he was always flirting with the next team. And you're going to tell me he's going to get to Sacramento and not flirt with the next team the minute dysfunction hits? I think that was a bad hire. I think they should have waited for Vogel. But that being said, at least give Vogel the first right of refusal. But that being said, I don't think he's going to. So he's going to beat Durant and LeBron and Curry and Westbrook and Kawhi Leonard. I just don't see him jumping to the top of that no matter where he goes. He's got so many phenomenal players already established in the limelight, doing it big for all their teams. I just can't see him coming from way out in the pack, you know, and jumping up to win the MVP unless something happens to all those guys. Now, maybe 5-10 years down the line when they get older and he may be hitting his prime a little bit, you know, because he's younger than them, I guess. But I just can't see him hurling all these guys that were in the top five at MVP this year and getting to the top and winning the MVP. I just don't see that. He's phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. He's a 2010 guy waiting to happen if they ever keep him to get his head screwed on straight. But to jump all those guys, I just don't see that happening.
Round four.
Yeah, I totally agree. But I think the number one reason why I don't see it happening is maturity. Is this guy ever going to grow up? I mean, he's got all the talent in the world, and he's got the ability. But I just think the maturity factor is what's keeping him down from having a chance. Obviously, I agree with everything JQ said as far as leaping those players as well. But I also think the maturity factor is just not there. And you hope that at some day you would just turn on a light and he'll grow up and he'll focus. But even with that, I mean, I think he can eventually be a top five player in his league. I really do. He's got that kind of ability, that kind of talent. But I just don't see him winning the MVP, though.
Right.
Wow. Okay. All right.
You gonna whistle on us?
It's been a very interesting show. I'm gonna have to definitely replay this one. All right. Let's talk about some NFL here, and let's talk about Joe Montana and Colin Kaepernick. So I was talking to my cousin out in Cali. He's a huge 49er fan. And I was joking with him. It's his birthday. Happy birthday, Jimmy. A lot of love for you, bruh. And I was saying that the 49ers have drafted all their draft picks to get Jared Goff. And he was cracking me up back because he was basically saying his comment was something like, you know, they got Chip and Cap. You know, that's all they need. And, you know, he was being facetious, obviously. But, yeah, so speaking of Kaepernick, word on the street is that Joe Montana was pretty critical of him, talking about that the quarterback is normally the leader of the team. And they look to Kaepernick, and he's been kind of quiet. So the question that I have, Rob, is this because of JQ – or excuse me. Is this because of Kaepernick? I'm sorry, JQ. Is this because of Kaepernick?
I was going to say, dang.
You know, just kind of not – I'm sorry. Not really, like, feeling he's part of the team or he's won his way out or they didn't really compete. This is for Rob, JQ. But, you know, what do you think about that? Is that why JQ – Is that why Kaepernick is not – I'm sorry, JQ. I got you in my brain for some reason. Is that why he's not cool taking this over? I know. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I think this is almost a similar topic for DeMarcus Cousins here too. I think a lot of it is maturity with Kaepernick, and that's what Joe Montana is basically saying. And then he also wonders – if Kaepernick is even happy being with the 49ers, is he still one out? So he just wondered where his head is, you know, going forward as a quarterback of the 49ers. Now, obviously, you would think that Kaepernick may be a good fit for Chip Kelly's offense. And so I think we have to wait and see if he can just kind of get on board. But, I mean, there's still a lot of questions with that. Obviously, Joe Montana, I think, hit it on the head. There's a maturity factor here. And the second thing is you have to wonder, does he still want to be with the 49ers?
Go ahead, JQ.
Agreed. And stop comparing me to that guy, bro.
Sorry.
I mean, Joe Montana's one of the best to ever do it. And the other piece of it is I don't think he's his biggest fit because people see, you know, Mariota, what he did in the running wise for Chip Kelly. But Chip Kelly also has a lot of intermediate short routes in that offense. And Kaepernick is just throwing that Michael Vick bullet no matter how far you are away from him, and his accuracy is not very good. So I don't think he's as good a fit in that system as it seems on the surface. And I think Joe Montana is totally valid in his criticism of Kaepernick. And I just don't know why they didn't – well, that was on Kaepernick for not wanting to take a pay cut. So both of them are very misguided. But I don't think he is going to be the guy for that team. When they were winning those games, he had a strong defense, and he didn't have to be the leader because he had guys like Patrick Willis on that team who's no longer there, and Bowman trying to come back from a devastating knee injury where he kind of did last year. I just don't think it's going to be him for him long-term in San Francisco. The writing's on the wall. It's just a matter of when that's going to happen.
Yeah, it's just kind of sad that I don't think, you know, whatever's happened, you know, behind the scenes, and whether he feels like you guys aren't, you know, supporting me or vice versa, he definitely has to get his head in there for sure. But, you know, he took a huge dip as far as his confidence is, too, with the losing Jim Harbaugh, too. So I wonder if that has something to do with that as well, gentlemen.
Yeah.
So, you know, good call on both sides. We've got about 5 minutes left here. Let's talk about Carson Wentz. He officially signed that deal with the Eagles. Amazing, guys, how Sam Bradford's kind of like recanting his trade. No trade clause here. So what are your thoughts about that, JQ? Anything you want to talk about Wentz and Sam Bradford?
Well, the Wentz thing is it shouldn't be that hard to sign these guys now because, you know, you got the cap for the rookies, and it's just a matter of where you slot it versus what happened last year. It shouldn't be that hard. So I'm not surprised that deal got done. And I'm not surprised that Bradford came back because he has zero leverage. Like, you know, when T.O.'s calling you a coward and Joe Theismann is putting you on blast on the radio – and all for good reasons, dude. You made all this money, and you haven't proven anything in this league, and you're scared of a little competition from a rookie. I mean, come on. You should be embracing that. Like, this rookie's not going to come take my job. I'm Sam MF in Bradford. So why are you sitting here holding out and acting crazy? I figured he was going to come back. He has no leverage. Who's trading for Sam Bradford for that deal that Philadelphia just gave him? I just don't see that happening. He's got to come in and have a good year, and then, okay, they can use him as a bargaining chip a year down the line when they're ready to turn over the Wentz. But he just looked like, you know, a spoiled kid with all of that. So, yeah, get your butt in camp and get it going.
Apologies to Sam J.Q. Jackson. What about your thoughts, Rob?
Well, I mean, I don't think I have a better response to that. I totally agree. And Sam Bradford has had one season, one, people, where he's actually stayed healthy for an entire season. And that was this past season. So he still has a lot to prove before a team is ready to put all their eggs into Sam Bradford. And so, I mean, he has absolutely no leverage. He needs to get in there and compete. And I still think he's going to be the starter day one for the Eagles if he just, you know, gets back.
He should be.
Obviously, yeah. Wentz is the future. And so it's just a matter of time before he eventually takes over for Bradford. But I still think Bradford is the starter day one. A real interesting stat, too. Bradford has made the most money of any current NFL quarterback that's never been to the playoffs. Well, I think he's made close to $80 or $90 million. It's unbelievable the kind of money he's made and hasn't really done anything in the league.
Come on, Westbrook. I'm sorry.
yeah, I see that. A word on the street is that Carson Wentz is going to spend all his money on a party, too, by the way. All right. I really want to talk about your boy, Willie Gall, if you don't mind. He's setting records at age 55. Just an amazing feat. And I'm going to let you guys, if you guys can get it in like 30 seconds apiece, I want to ask you who's the oldest player to retire to be in the NFL. So what are your thoughts about Willie Gall setting that record, Rob?
Well, 11.3 seconds and 100 meteor dash. That's the fastest time for any man 55 and older. Great job, Will. You know, when he played with the Bears, he had blazing speed. He's a track guy. Congrats to Willie Gault.
2 seconds, JQ.
Absolutely. Him and Dale Green. Just get older and stay fast.
Love it.
Oldest and Dr. J can still dunk a basketball today, by the way, too. Another guy you got to get.
Who's the oldest guy in the NFL that played? Do you guys know off the top of your head?
The Juan Spinner?
Nope. Oldest guy, do you know, JQ?
Martin Anderson?
He was second, believe it or not, 47. George Blanda,
Gary
48.
Whatever. Oh, George Blanda,
yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, that's a little trivia question for you guys. All right, Rob, end it. You got about a minute in the show, guys.
Monday night, people, don't forget to join us 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central for our friends in California. That's going to be 8 p.m. For our friends in Hawaii, that's going to be 5 p.m. Don't forget to join us Monday night, people. Good night.
Take you.
Thanks for joining us, good people. Appreciate you. I'll let you know Monday.
Another excellent job.